thank you for taking the time and being here. It shows how much you are committed to your area and certainly the state of Illinois. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I'm just a kid trying to earn a living. You know how it goes. The governor today was pretty positive, talking about, as much as I expected, a lot of the successes and things that passed that he campaigned on. He claims unemployment's better, the fiscal situation of the state is better. I guess what's not to like?
Well, I was certainly encouraged by a lot of the message that the governor shared with us today. Most importantly, when he touched on common sense and decency, and I think those are two areas that will serve us very well as we continue to work together, both chambers, both sides of the aisle. He also acknowledged that we have a lot of work to do, starting with ethics reform, and goodness knows with what's going on in the news, we have areas that we certainly need to improve, and it begins with not allowing the revolving door of legislators to become lobbyists, and increasing our disclosure on our economic interest statements. So,
I get the feeling though that things in terms of ethics reforms are going to be perhaps maybe easier said than done. It seems like that we're going to be chiseling away, albeit softly, perhaps at a pretty serious brick wall.
Well, I don't necessarily agree, Will, because I believe that I am a member of the Legislative Ethics Commission and two members from each of the four chambers. And I believe that there are areas that we can certainly make some improvements and make some movement. We have to be careful that we don't skew our actions with those of the judicial branch. So they certainly have their area that they cover, and we as legislative commissions have to be very careful. But the other thing that people need to understand is we don't just have one ethics area. There's an executive branch, there's the legislative branch, there's the state agencies, so we all have to work in concert.
Talk a little bit for a minute or two, since you did bring up the Legislative Ethics Commission that you're a part of. What has been happening up to now in that regard? What have you been discussing? What's been worked on?
And so there's not a lot that I can share because we as an ethics commission work together with the Legislative Inspector General on specific cases.
But it's safe to say that things are being talked about and hopefully are leading to the point of being done.
Oh, absolutely. And this Inspector General, together with our previous Inspector General, have cleared many, many cases. And some have had a significant effect on the perpetrator, and others have been dismissed.
I think maybe we've talked a little bit about what's been positive about this address today. Do you see any downsides or concerns at this point? I think maybe when I hear things like climate change, regardless of where you fall, that seems to be still, among other things, a pretty divisive issue among others.
It is a divisive issue. And you know, certainly here in the state of Illinois, we have some opportunities for some wind and some solar, but that doesn't resolve all of our energy needs by any stretch of the imagination. Another area that has me deeply concerned, and that is when the governor puts forth this elimination of cash bail. That has a significant impact on our counties and our county law enforcement. Just in McDonough County alone, that's a $700,000 hit. I don't know how we expect to operate our victims' programs and protect the families and the victims and their families when you don't have the money to operate those programs. It's a significant concern for me.
That said, though, from every court case I've ever covered, the idea of cash bail was to ensure that the accused still actually show up to court, right?
Well, absolutely it was. And now do we lose that, or are we not going to be sure they show up to court or not? And the other thing that we see so often is many of the people that are charged would much rather spend 12 or 18 months in a county facility than they would in a state or federal facility.
And so, I think that's been some of the concern, too, at least in Knox County, with some sentences perhaps leading people to go to jail as opposed to going to prison.
Right. Exactly right. And many would prefer to knock off about 3 years of their sentence if they spend 18 months in the county, then, you know, that takes 3 years off of what they might face at the state level.
It seems to me, though, the issue of cash bail, perhaps maybe as you suggested, maybe isn't the most serious of the issues that we could tackle here in terms of criminal justice reform.
Oh, we've got a lot of work to do when it comes to criminal justice reform, and certainly cash bail is low-hanging fruit, if you will, a phrase that I've never been really fond about, but that would certainly apply there.
What else concerns you about what you heard from the governor today?
Well, I think that we all need to be concerned, and what I didn't hear from the governor today was any discussion about a fair map. And that is an area that we have been talking about for decades, and we know that there is software available that can be put in the computer. It draws the maps fairly. It takes diverse populations into consideration. And other states all around us and across the United States use that. But the state of Illinois, we leave that to the politicians. And I think that's a real concern.
Say, I think I can imagine, I can hear people saying, well, it's the state's pretty much, or at least, well, the biggest population center in the state is centered around Democrats. So why would Democrats want to talk about a fair map at this point?
Right. I mean, exactly right. But it would serve both parties very well. And I think that it's past time that we address this situation. And this is the time to do it with the census coming up right around the corner. Starting April 1, and then the remap coming up next year.
The governor talked a bit about property tax reform, and kind of, I guess maybe in all my years of covering local government, I didn't realize that there were, as he put it,
7,000? pervasive
incentives for keeping property taxes high. Is that really the case?
Well, I think that you see that certainly with when many of these local governments. They may be under PTEL, which many counties are, but they have a cap, a tax cap that they can't go above. Well, very rarely do you ever see them below that. So they take their tax out to the maximum level, and we almost incentivize them to do that. And it's incredible. I mean, that we should be looking at incentives to go the other way. What can we do for you if you don't cap out?
That said, I'm sort of maybe sympathetic to the plight of school districts and units of government in this regard, because as I mentioned in our broadcast today, as they always say, you know, you of course you max as much or you levy as much as you can because you don't want to leave money on the table.
Well, that being said, though, at least for the last 3 years, we as a state have done a very good job of paying into our school funding formula $350 million. Every year, and we are committed to doing that for the next 10 years. So that's $3.5 billion but when it's all said and done. So I think we as a state have incentivized our school districts to perhaps look at lowering their local property taxes because of what we're doing on the state level.
In a couple of weeks, we expect the governor to come back to this chamber and give his budget address. Anything you're expecting or would like to hear at that time, 3 weeks from now?
Well, I guess what I would like to hear at that point in time is what are areas that he is able to identify that we could perhaps make some cuts? How can we better spend the dollars that we're spending? And what areas do we need to increase our spending? And those are all things that I'm looking forward to.
Perhaps a tricky situation, given if you want local governments to lower property taxes, but yet maybe incentivize them to do that. At some point, we have to figure out how to pay for all this.
Well, you're absolutely right. And many of those are the dollars that stay local. And if that is the case, what are we doing to help those local entities to maintain the status quo, the services that they are currently affording?
I'll take one more minute here. Toward the beginning of the speech, the governor talked a bit about social media and how pervasive and how seemingly negative politics seems to be. And I think that goes on both sides of the political aisle here. How do you combat that, do you think?
You know, it is absolutely true. But I will say that Facebook itself, as one entity of social media, they have taken it upon themselves to crack down quite a bit. And there is now certain requirements that political entities have to meet. And that's a good thing. But, you know, how are we ever going to combat the ugliness that we see every day and we experience every day on social media? The only way you can do that is by not engaging in that. And, you know, it goes back to what the governor started with in the beginning, common sense and common decency, and that goes a long way.
That said, as perhaps the governor suggested, is civil discourse overall making a comeback at all?
Oh, God, I hope not. I think it's in my world, it's reached fever pitch. And so it's time.
The negative aspect of it, not the friendly discussion of issues.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. I am hopeful that it has reached its crescendo, and people are tired of that, and we need to back that off, way off.
Are things friendlier here in the House?
You know, I have never really chosen to engage in. That banter and that you don't gain anything from that, Will. I always try to reach across the aisle, across the chamber, and work together with people. It's the only way you get things done for your district.
Is that easier said than done, though, given you're in leadership here in the House?
Well, sometimes, but not really often. There are some challenges, but all in all, I think that as you get to know people and people get to know you, you have a mutual respect, and you can have a conversation and talk about what you need and why you need it.
State Representative Noreen Hammond, thanks so much for your time and for letting us spend a few minutes in your office today, so to speak.
I appreciate you being here. Thanks, Will.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. I'll be back to wrap things up in a few minutes, but we'll have Kim Commando in sports next on Galesburg's Evening News.